Aleph, Amud Aleph, where Tosfos mentions the minhag that the Baalei HaTosfos developed, that by Netilas Yadayim, they made a loyplug, sometimes pan bottom bottom base hakis, ain't on them royal of Baruch and Lacham and Atilus. So the meaning is that you always postpone the Baruch and Tilus Yadayim after the washing. We say Lacham Asi Yasi. Because there's a Tzorach. The Tzorach is, they explain. So, by this Lacham Asi Yasi. So we mentioned the Tosfos in Sochim on Dav Zayin Amud Beis quotes the Gemara in Zoyta Dav Dalet, which is quoted by the Tosfos by Yos and then based on Aleph, the last Tosfos. So Echol Beloy Nigru, if you die in Treyach Alechem Tomei, you have to dry your hands before you eat the bread. So the Nigru is the Gemara of the Netilas Yadayim. So it's a little bit over Las Yos. Like the Rishonim explained on the Gemara Sochim there, the Gemara says that by Netilas Lulav, the Bracha is always recited Lachar Al Siyos, and you can't say the Bracha before you pick up the Lulav in the Esrit, that'll be over the Yom. Say the Bracha after you picked it up, so it's ready Lachar Al Siyos, and so the Gemara says, okay, so it's Lachar Al Siyos. So the Rishonim explains, not too bad because it's still over Las Yos of the Nanuim, and the Nanuim are Lachatchila Derais. So that's the way the Tosfos writes in Sochim. Here, this morning I was preparing a chabur for this afternoon, achulav. So I had to look up Beis Halevi, Tshuva in the Beis Halevi. So he quotes a Hagos Ashri in the second perek in Brochus, in Amasichta. There's a long Hagos Ashri. He runs through all the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. He starts on page 16, the tiny letters. And he goes through page 17 in the Dafim of the Rosh. And on the very last line, in this long Hagos Ashri, the tiny letters, side by side next to the Rosh, so the last line he writes, it's Ein Levarach Elala Achan Niguv. You should say the bracha after you dry your hands, not before you dry your hands. And so it says, this is all the last word, says, this is all a quotation from the Or Zaruah. So somebody may think that it's a misprint or something. So the Beis HaLevi says, and now they just reprinted the Or Zaruah Mechadosh, and I got a new copy of it, and that's what it says. And they quote, in the Or Zaruah, he quotes a long tshuva from the Rabbeinu Tam, who explains why you have to say the Bracha Dafke Akpeda La'acha Haniguv. Why? Because, to this the Beis HaLevi fills in the rest. When you shech the Chaya V'yof, so the Chumash says you have to do Kisei Hadam. So Tosfos points out on the Gemara, and there's a whole perek that's called Kisei Adam, dedicated obviously to the laws of Kisei Adam, one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So the Tosfos points out on that Gemara, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, that you see from the Gemara that Kisei Adam is considered the Gemara of the Shechita. So these are counted as two different mitzvahs in the Minyan mitzvahs, a mitzvah to shecht and a mitzvah to do Kisei Adam. Shechting is Behema Chayav Yov, Kisei Adam is only by Chayav Yov, doesn't apply to Behema. So you say a bracha over lasiyasim before you're about to shecht the behema, and then you say a bracha over lasiyasim of the kisei adam before you do the kisei adam. Two different mitzvahs. So the Rosh there in Perek Kisei Adam quotes from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. No, the shechita you should say the bracha over lasiyasim. The kisei adam you're holding in the middle, since the kisei adam is the gemara of the shechita, so you're holding in the middle. So that's not right. Either you say a bracha over lasiyasim or you say a bracha la'achar lasiyasim. You don't say a bracha in the middle. So therefore he says, you should say the bracha after you finish the Kisei Adam. So the Rosh writes, the minhag olam is not like it says in the Halachas Gedolos. So I would say, because he's wrong. So the Rosh says, no. Minhag olam is that we treat, the, in Svara he sounds like he's right. That's what the Beis HaLevi points out. The Rosh sounds like he holds in Svara, the Baal Halachas Gedolos is right. That either you say bracha over lasiyasim, or you say bracha legamri lachar asiyasim. You don't say b'emtza. The Rosh defends the minhag olam by saying that we treat kisei adam as if it's an independent mitzvah, and we're not holding in the middle. So it's over lasiyasim. But if you really have a mitzvah that's clearly one mitzvah, and you, for some reason or another you didn't say the bracha over lasiyasim, take it would be preferable to recite the bracha lachar asiyasim rather than to recite the bracha in the middle. So he says that's. So the Beis HaLevi points out, the Bahag says that, and he said that's why you should say the Bracha and Kisei Adam after the Kisei Adam. The Rosh defends the minhag olam by saying that we don't treat it as if you're in the middle. But if you would taka have a mitzvah that you're in the middle, you should say the Bracha Lachar. So he said that's what the Rabbeinu Tam writes in the Or Zaruah HaGadol. This is just a kitzah, this Hagos Ashri. And the Or Zaruah that he got a copy of that was just printed during his lifetime, so the Beis HaLevi quotes, they have this whole passage quoted from the Rabbein Tam that appears here, and he argues that the case. He doesn't make the comparison, the Rabbein Tam doesn't make the comparison to Kis Adam, that's the Beis HaLevis. But he argues based based on this svar that if the bracha isn't recited over Lasiyasim, then it's preferable not to recite it b'em, so it's preferable to recite it after. Lagamri, not the way the Taisa says about the Nanuim. The Rishonim say, even though you can't say the bracha over Lasiyasim by the Lulav, that's what it says in the Gemara, so say the bracha before you do the Nanuim, at least it's a little bit over Lasiyasim, it's a little bit, at least it's b'em. So here the Beis HaLevi points out that the Rishonim would disagree with that. I don't know why. Okay. Yeah. We have the we outsmarted the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sachin that by Lulav and Esrig you have no Breira, because if you'll say the bracha before you pick it up, it's over the over. Say the bracha after you picked it up, it's ready lachar asiyos, it's already after. So the Gemara says, therefore, Lulav and Esrig is an exception to the rule. So the Rishonim outsmarted the Gemara. Tosis outsmarted the Gemara. Tosis says, pick it up upside down, or pick it up and have kavana shalolot says, or hold in the wrong hand, the hipeh. Some Svartim have a meaning. They hold the esrig, they hold the esrig in the left hand, the lulav in the right hand, where they say the bracha, and then they switch hands, because they go with the shita Sabina Hananel that if you the hipa, if you're not yaitza, means if you hold in the wrong hands. The Gemara says you have to hold the lulav. What do? We hold the lulav in the right hand because you have 3/4 of the mitzvah, and the esrig in the left hand because you only have 1/4. You need dalad minim. So if you hold it fraker, the esrig in the right hand and the lulav in the left hand. Rabbeinu Hanana holds that you're not Yotzei Miriam. So some Svarim have such a meaning that they hold it backwards and then they say the bracha. So that's what the Balamor writes on Pesach. What do you mean? The Balamor says it's outsmarted the Gemara. If the Gemara says you can't do it over Lasiyasim, so leave it the way it is. So our meaning is like the Balamor says, that we outsmarted the Gemara. But we were discussing Kefi Dina the Gemara. Kefi Dina the Gemara. It says you have no choice, so you have to say the bracha lachar Lasiyasim. Yeah. So we were running through the Mishnah, the 8th parak, running through the Mishnah on Nun Aleph on the days. The various machlokes between Bisham and Bisil of Bisuba. So the last one we discussed was the last machlokes. So that's finished. Okay, we did the last machlokes Bisham and Bisil. A person ate bread and he left the location and he forgot the bench. If he knows that he's leaving, he knows that he's doing wrong. He's leaving the location, even though he didn't bench. Even the Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai that the Mezid, if he leaves, he has to go back Chazal and Koma. But if he left the Shogeg, that's a machlokes. So they all agree preferable is to go back. More correct is to recite Birchas Hamazon Bim Koma, because passes Tom Broch Le'achar Bim Koma. That's the Gemara in the last parak in Arvei Pesachim. The Gemara says, since passes Tom Broch Le'achar Bim Koma, so there's no problem of Shina Makom. Question is whether all the Shivas Hamidim also Tom Brachal Achru Makom. So that's a Machlekis and Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So here the Machlekis B'Sham still is, preferable certainly is it should be Chazal Makom. The one who was Chazal Makom, who was Machma like the Beis Shammai, Motza Arniki did the Havo. He found a wallet full of golden coins. So either it means that we pass him like Beis Shammai, or it means that even Bisil agreed that the din should really be more correct is to do like Beis Shammai. That's what the Tosis had the two pshat, manun beis and beis, bikuli pirkin, halacha ke Bisil. How come he found the aniki de dahava? The first Tosis thought that it's an indication that we pass him like Beis Shammai, and then he said, no, we don't pass him like Beis Shammai. But Bisil also agreed that that's the more correct thing to do. It's not like you have a machlokes Beis Shammai Bisil in another place. Bisil holds that what Beis Shammai said is utterly incorrect. Totally out of context. No, we hear them asking, more correct is to go back. But the Beis Hillel hold, if he left B'Shogeg, lo hitshvichu chacham. Okay, so that was the last of the machlekes in Misham and Beis Hillel, and the Mishnah, Nun Aleph and the Beis. Then the Mishnah gives a collection of miscellaneous halachas that are also connected with Suda, but not mutal no machlekes. Van Masai Mevorach, how long a person has, let's say, a sandwich for breakfast. And he didn't bench. Can he bench tomorrow morning for the breakfast that he had yesterday morning? So what's the latest that you can bench? So the Mishnah says, Achi yisakel hamazayin shebi meyov. What is the shear equal? So that the Gemara asks, kam shear equal? How long is that? That's on Nun Gimel on the base. Kam shear equal? What is the Mishnah What is the shear that the Mishnah is driving at? So the Gemara has a machloike samar roif. Amar Rabbi Yechon calls man shein a roif. If he was hungry and he ate a meal and now he's not hungry, and then he waits long enough till he gets hungry again to eat another meal, it's time to eat another meal, then you know that it's too late. That's already nisakal amazon shadmeyov. He doesn't feel full. If he's still full, he's not fully full, he's not hungry anymore. He doesn't feel hunger pangs that he's hungry to eat another meal. Then he can still bench birchas amazon for the first meal. But Shlok Hashama calls manchi yitzma machmas achilos. It's a different shiur. If he would have eaten without having a drink, so how long would he still be thirsty because of that food that he ate? Sounds like it's a shorter shiur zman, no? Which is shorter? Rabbi Yechanan Zohar Shlokish. I don't know. Which shiur is shorter? And then the Gemara says, somebody asked Akasha, the Omer Shlokish, because that was Shlokish's opinion. It's a whole calculation. The Omer Shlokish, Kamashirik, Delahalach, Dalad Milim. The time that it takes to walk 4 milim. And if you assume that a mil is 18 minutes, so 4 milim is 72 minutes. 18 times 4 is 72. If you hold the mil is 22 and a half minutes, so that is going to be longer. Okay, whatever the mill is. So it's a steer. Here Ish Lakish gives a shear a time period, let's say 72 minutes, and there he gives a shear as long as he's still thirsty because of the eating that he had. If he didn't have any drink with the eating, he would still be thirsty. So it's a contradiction. Ish Lakish was the shear equal. So Gemara says, Lo kashi kam achilam ruba kam achilam uatis. Which way does the Teretz go? So in Shulchan Aruch they have accepted the opinion of Tosfos, the top Tosfos who disagrees with Rashi, that the minimum amount of time you have, you always have 72 minutes. Achila Mu'etes, you always have 72 minutes. But if you had Achila Meruba, he was at a bar mitzvah, he was at a wedding. And they kept on giving one course after the other. So he's full, he's not going to eat 3 meals today. He's only going to eat 1.5 meals. He ate so much at this meal. So then you have longer than 72 minutes. Then you have longer than whatever it is, an hour and a half. So you have longer than that. If you have achila meruba, then... So what? That's a longer shear. Kol zman sheyitzma machmas achilos, that's a longer shear. It sounded to me like that it was a shorter shear than kol zman sheino roi machmas macholot. I don't know. No, that's how Tosfos explained. It's not like Rashi. The minimum shear you have is 72 minutes. Yeah. Someone told me that in a recent svarim that they put out on the Dinim HaBrachos, so they say that that if you have a cup of water, you don't have 72 minutes. I thought in the Mishnah Berurah said you always have 72 minutes, even if you just had a cup of soda. So someone pointed out that in the svarim that they put out recently, they write, a cup of water, you're not going to have 72 minutes. The water disappears faster. And if a person is in the middle of a basketball game, or he's a boxer or something, and he has a drink of water, then because he's exercising or he's running around the track or something like that, so then the water gets used up faster, so you even have less than you would have had. It's less than 72 minutes to begin, and if he's running around and exerting a lot of effort and energy, then it's less than that. So we got to be careful. Okay. You got to say the Baruch Achrayin soon after you finish eating. Okay.
Rebbe agrees with that?
I don't know. In Kabbalah Hina Kabbalah, I guess the one who wrote the Sefer must have made it Rishi Bechakira. I don't know. Then the Mishnah continues. Bolehem Yan Lachar Amozen. They finished eating the whole meal. Bizmana Gemara, the Bizmana Tanoim, the common practice was that when they invited people to, they used to have a smorgasbord in advance. And then after they had the smorgasbord, then they used to serve the meal. What did they have for the smorgasbord? Wine. They used to drink wine in the beginning. Here the Mishnah is describing a case. They didn't have the wine to serve the meal. In the beginning, the wine was delivered later. So bolehem yayin l'achramos, and after they finished eating, then they deliver the wine, so it's time to bench already. So the fellow would really like to have a drink of wine, but they only have one little cup of wine. That's the ganzen meisen. There's only one cup of wine. What do you do? So the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that Beishamai hold you don't need birchas hamazon, doesn't need a kos of yayin. You want to drink the wine now? Doesn't hey, drink the wine and bench without a kos. That's a simple pshat. Then the Gemara said, well, maybe what it means to say is a different thing. Maybe what Beishamai meant to say was you don't have two cups of wine, you have 1.5 cups of wine. So then mevorach ala yayin v'achakach mevorach ala hamazon. Maybe Beishamai hold that birchas hamazon is doing a kos. And what they say mevorach ala yayin means you should drink. You have a revius and a half, so you should drink a half a revius, so you have left a revius, and you will be able to bench ala kos. I wouldn't mean bench ala kos, but it's yayin problem if he drank this. So the Gemara says no. He has a revius and a half of wine, but he's going to say bar pragov and then pour off a half a revius to a different cup of, or pour it in his hand or something. Somehow he's going to drink. So they still disagree with that. What did Beisilu say? Beisilu disagree. Mevorach al hamazon, v'akach mevorach al yayin. What does he need a revius and a half to bench birchas hamazon? If that's the pshat in Beishamai, that he has a revius and a half, so why did Beisilu disagree? It's a bigger mitzvah to say birchas hamazon on a revius and a half than to say on a revius. Why? Because the cup is machzik a revius and a half. So it's not going to be mola. Yeah, but we had the Rabbein Yaina. He said already in Shlosh Shachlu that if it's almost full, it's also mola. So I mean, that's what we're talking about. You have an option, you have a becher that really is machzik a revius and a half. So real mole would be, you leave the whole, they both, Bisham and Bisil agree that birchas hamazon tuna kos. Both Bisham and Bisil agree, birchas hamazon is tuna kos, and the kos should be mole, and mole really means mole, literally. But the Rabbein Yoni says that the what b'di'eved, it's mole if it's a two-thirds full. But it's not l'chatchila, so Bisham, I allow you. He really wants to drink the wine now. So that's the machloikis. Very strange. Rabbein Yoni sounds like he says it's good l'chatchila. Rabbein Yoni says when you bench ala kos, so the kos is only two-thirds full, and then we get tonight the l'chay, you fill in more wine, or you fill in water, you do the mezika. Where's the mala? He says it's two-thirds full, it's also full. Sounds like it's good l'chatchila. Unless you say, no, that's because of takanas chachamim. I don't know. According to the way the Gemara suggested, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that the machlekes is whether birchas hamazon tuna kos, birchas hamazon ain't a tuna kos. All you have is a revius. They didn't give you a revius on here. But according to the other pshat, the Gemara said, he has more than a revius and less than two revius. Nafish like tvei mishiyure, he has 1.5. Shrei lo havi mechad nafish, has more than one revius and less than two. So that's a machlekes, bisham and bisilas, that was very missing. It's missing a hezbe here. Then the Mishnah concludes, If you know the one who's saying the bracha is a ma'amin and he believes in God, and I come in and he says bar piagofen, I didn't hear the beginning, he says bar piagofen, and he drinks the wine. Maybe he's just singing bar piagofen. Maybe he didn't say baruch atah Hashem makenem achoy. But if I see he says bar piagofen and he drinks the wine, maybe he really said bar piagofen half an hour ago. Now he's just saying bar piagofen. No, it doesn't look like that. It looks like he's beginning to drink now. So if I hear him say bar piagofen, I can say amen. I can safely assume that he started off baruch atah Hashem lakein malchum. But if he's a kusim, the kusim, some of the kusim used to worship Abu Dezare. They had a demus yoinon, hargrizim, that's where Rashi is referring to. Umar in the first paragraph of Chulin says that Rameir made Xera to treat the kusim like akam l'chol divrayim, because Motzalahem, he sent some spies to Hargrizim, and they found that they're worshipping a Demusia, and a miyut of them were worshipping Abu Dezar. So that's why the Mishnah says we're always concerned that maybe this Kusi is another Abu Dezar, and maybe he said the bracha l'shem Hargrizim.
We're not concerned about saying l'shem Hargrizim. We're just not sure, maybe that he's been drinking for a while and he still doesn't want Marasan, so he says Bert Piagafen.
Yeah.
What would be the problem with saying Amen, even if he didn't start with saying the
that's what we had from the Bali Atayis, that it's not proper to say Amen unless it's at the conclusion of a bracha. Like that's what we had in the pressure. In the middle of Yalla B'Yavah, you say, everybody says Amen. Everybody says Amen. Everybody says Amen. So Taisis sounds like they assume that you're not supposed to, Shulchan Aruch says, sounds like you're not supposed to do that. You should only say Amen at the conclusion of a bracha.
But this isn't in the middle of anything. At most, it's just an amen or thin air.
Yeah, amen means I agree. But he didn't say anything. What are you agreeing to? I say amen with seriousness, because I assumed that he was saying a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not. He's just singing a nigun, Baruch Pi Hagafen. He didn't say Baruch Ato Hashem, Baruch Pi Hagafen. That's not really at the conclusion of a bracha. There's a din. You're not allowed to answer amen levatola. Just, it's not just like bracha levatola is more serious. Amen levatola is less serious. If you have a sofik bracha, so you say sofik bracha is lucky, you don't say it. If a sofik bracha, if you say a bracha that's questionable, maybe it's a bracha levatola, maybe it's not, so you can answer amen. You shouldn't have said the bracha because sofik bracha is lucky. But I can answer amen. You don't say sofik amen levatola, you're not allowed to answer. But there is a din, you're not supposed to answer amen levatola. I remember Moshe Feinstein passed away, so there were big hespedim at that time on the east side. So one of the rabbanim got up and he was praising Moshe Feinstein for several of the major psukim that he gave. So one of the praises he gave was that Moshe Feinstein wrote in his tshuva that you're not permitted to answer amen after a reformed rabbi says a bracha because he's akusi. So I remember when we came back to the yeshiva, the rabbanim were wondering, why did they single that out as such a wonderful psaka? He thought it was difficult. The kusi, you're afraid that he's saying a bracha to the avodah zarah. Maybe he didn't say Hashem Elokeinu, but the reformed rabbi was. So he's an apikoros, says dina ka'akom. What if a goy says a bracha, he says Hashem Elokeinu malacham? He doesn't have in mind yoshke. If you have a goy, he says a bracha, and he says Hashem Elokeinu, and he's an avodah zarah, and you think that maybe his intention is for osa ho'ish, so you shouldn't say amen. But a reformed rabbi has in mind also Hish. He has in mind that Dmus Yainan agrees him. Maybe he doesn't believe in God, but so he doesn't believe in God, so he's just Dvar Matel Biyama. So that's what Rabbi Moshe meant. That's what Rabbi Moshe meant. Maybe he doesn't believe in God. And he didn't, so it's not really a bracha. It wasn't such an easy tshuva. It's a difficult tshuva. Why shouldn't you say amen when a conservative rabbi, a former rabbi says bracha? Even if he's an apikoros because he doesn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim, whatever. So you can't say amen after it's bracha.
Pashas, the point here is that even if a kusi said a real bracha, you'd answer amen. It's only if you heard the end that you can't answer amen.
Right, if you heard the whole bracha and he didn't say the bracha l'shem hagrizim. So what's the concern over here? I mean, our Moshe means maybe he's an atheist. And maybe he said Hashem Elokeinu just means the powers of the universe, and he doesn't mean there's a deity that's a power. It just means nature, and he's saying a blessing. He's blessing nature.
I don't believe in the physical existence of the supreme being.
They don't believe in a deity.
I believe that there is such a thing as a supreme being.
Some of them don't believe, and most of them don't believe. Yeah, but he was more than reform. He was a machmer. He was a very extreme. Yeah, he was a reconstructionist. Yeah, remember at one time the YUPR was writing that he was the oldest surviving Muslim from the yeshiva, Mordechai Kaplan. They were very proud about it. He's the oldest surviving Muslim from yeshiva from years ago. No. Okay, if Mordechai Kaplan says a bracha, it doesn't mean anything. He doesn't believe in the existence of a deity. But you have other conservative or reformed rabbis. They may have a din of apikoros. They don't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. But an apikoros who says a bracha, you say amen. A goy says a bracha is amen, unless he's concerned that it's miskaven l'shem avodah zarah. If he has some other kavanah.
So if a Muslim says a bracha,
the Muslims probably believe in the same deity that the Jewish people believe in. No, they believe that Muhammad was a prophet and he had the ability to reverse the laws of the Torah. But they believe in the same God that we believe in. I think they believe in the same God that we believe in. We assume that Islam is not Avodah Zarah. For a goy, it's not called an Avodah Zarah. For a Jew to convert to Islam means that he's giving up the Jewish religion. So that's, most assume that is Yehoreg Val Yavah. But for a non-Jew to be, to worship Islam is monotheistic. So that's, he just believes in a Novi HaSheker. The Rambam calls him the Meshuggah. The Rambam always refers to Muhammad as the Meturif, as the Meshuggah. But that's not from the Sheven Mitzvah Bin Anayah, not to follow Meshuggah. That's not another. Yeah, so what does the Gemara ask Akasha? The Mishnah says, if you hear a Jew say Bar Piagof and you didn't hear him say the beginning of the bracha, you can say Amen, and we assume that you Yotzei. So the Gemara asks, the Memer you mean to say, the Yisrael, if it's a Jew saying the bracha, Abgav lo shama kula bracha, oy nah. Did you say Amen, even though you didn't hear the whole bracha, v'chilo shama, hechi nothing? How can it be Yotzei with Amen? You have to have Shemea Kaina. You have to have Shemei Kaina. The Gemara said in Sukkah that in Alexandria the shul was so packed, it was so noisy that you couldn't hear the chazan saying the bracha, so they had to wave flags. So Taisu says, how can they had to wave flags so the people should know how to say Amen? So Taisu asked the Kasha, but you're not allowed to say Amen Yisrema, just the Amen, you don't hear the bracha, it's no good. So Taisu says, no, that's only if you don't hear the bracha, you don't know what bracha he's saying. It's just that everybody's screaming out Amen. People near the chazan are screaming Amen. You also go along scream Amen. You don't know what you're saying Amen to. That's Amen Yisayim that I'm not allowed to. But what if I know what bracha he said? We're keeping track. We're looking in the city. We just can't hear the chazan. We say he said the first bracha, now second bracha. So we know what it is. So you're allowed to say Amen. So there, the Prima Gadim points out that there is a variation. The way this Tosis appears in Sukkah and the way it appears in brachas, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim. There's a variation. The way it's quoted, the Tosis means to say that you yoytze kol hayna amen kila hoytze bracha mipiv dama, even though it's not shameya ka'ayna. There's one rule, shameya kol hayna amen kila hoytze bracha mipiv dama. If you say amen, it's considered as if he said the bracha. Then the Gemara has a sopik in Sukkah daf lamed ches. What if shameya shama v'loy ona amen? What if I paid attention, I didn't answer amen? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that all the rabbanim and all the sofrim and all the dayanim, everybody agreed. It's a very strange Gemara. They took a poll of all the rabbis in the world and they all came to the conclusion that it is good. Shomeya ki'oina. If you paid attention, even though you didn't say Amen, it's considered as if you would have said Amen. And if you would have said Amen, kaloina Amen, kilo hoitze bracha mipiv dami seyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyeyey beginning to the end, you're yotzei. The other one is if you answer amen, even if you didn't hear. Even if you didn't hear the bracha, if you answer amen, you know what the bracha is, you're yotzei. Or do you say no? If you didn't hear the bracha, of course you're not yotzei. Lechatchila, you should really say amen. The din really is based on shameya. Shameya is kaina. If you hear, it's considered as if you said. But lechatchila, more correct is after listening to the whole bracha to say amen. And even if you didn't respond amen, you're also yotzei. But if you didn't hear the whole bracha, even if you do say amen, you know, every word that he's saying, but you didn't hear it, you're not yotzei. So that's the simple reading of our Gemara. The Gemara said, v'chilo shama hechi nafik. If you didn't hear the bracha, how are you yotzei? What's the kasha? Say amen. Kol ha'nami kila ha'yotzei bracha m'piv domi. According to that opinion in Tosfos, that if you say amen in Alexandria, you're yotzei, even though you didn't hear the bracha, but you know what bracha he's saying. So what is the Gemara's kasha over here? So the simple mashmos of the Gemara is like the other opinion in Tosfos, the simple way you say that Gemara in Sukkah goes answering amen, but not you're not yotzei with that amen. If you don't hear Shema Kaina, if you don't hear the bracha, you're not yotzei. It doesn't help that you say amen. So the Gemara says, so what's going on over here? If a Jew said the bracha, he can say amen even though you didn't hear the bracha. Everything marks shalach aleman. I'm not eating together with that. I just want to know, can I answer amen? There's a mitzvah to answer amen even if you're not being yotzei with that bracha. If it's a Jew who said the bracha, you assume he said Hashem Elokeinu. Then you can answer amen, even though you didn't hear the whole bracha from the beginning. And if it's a kusa, you have to be concerned. Maybe he's from the group who are Rabbi Abed Izzar. Cheinu Amram Nachman, etc. B'shalach alamen. B'shalach ochal aymon. He's not eating with them. He doesn't need Shemeach. He doesn't need the bracha to be yotzei. Just a shayli. He's supposed to answer amen. So you answer amen, even though you didn't hear the tchilus ha-bracha, because you know what the tchilus ha-bracha was. Okay. So that's obvious. You're not permitted to answer amen after the bracha of a person whose intention is ba'osa ho'ish, or if he possibly said, I didn't hear the beginning, maybe he said a bracha mamish l'shem av adizar. Maybe outright said l'shem av adizar. So of course you're not allowed to answer amen. Now the Gemara has a shaila, who gets more star? The one who says the bracha, or the one who's yotzei by answering amen? So those who attended a siyum on Erev Pesach, every so often the rabbanim make a siyum on Gemara Nazir. So that's what the Gemara that they read. The last piece of Gemara Nazir has this machlokes hatanoi. Whether you say Gadol Hanam and Yosem Hamavarach, or Gadol Hamavarach Yosem and Hanam. So that's a machlokes hatanoi. Yeah, what's the difference halacha l'maaseh? So the Gemara has over here. What if you have an opportunity to bench mezumah? You have an opportunity to be the chazan, to say the chazaras hashatz. So should you seize the opportunity? Because gadol hamavarch yosem min hanamin. Or do you say no? It's better gadol hanamin yosem min hamavarch. So that's what the Gemara says. Omalei Rav lechia berei. Rav told the son chatov ebrich. Chinam ravuna l'rav ebrei chatov ebrich. If you have an opportunity to bench mezumin in Bizman HaGemara, only the one who bench mezumin said the bracha, the other just said amen. They didn't say the birchas hamoz. We have the Mechaba quotes, the Rishonim, the late Rishonim say that Bizman HaZeh, people don't pay attention so well. So everybody should say along softly with the mezamein, because their mind may wander in the middle and they won't be yotze. It's not called Shemeh Kain unless you're really paying attention. So the Gemara says that... But Bizman HaGemara, only the one person, only the mezamin said the bracha. So that's the shaila, who gets more reward? The one who says the bracha, Gadol HaMavarach Yosem HaNamin, Gadol HaNamin Yosem HaMavarach. So these two Amoraim encouraged others, Chatoif HaBrich, if you have a chance, it doesn't mean if they mechab someone else to bench mezumin, you should grab the cup and you should steal it from him. That the Gemara says you pay a penalty if you steal a mitzvah from someone else. But it means if you have an opportunity, if they ask you to bench mezumin, don't turn it down. Try to seize the opportunity. Freg the Gemara, the main rhythm of Baruch Adiv, Mandanam, and you mean to say that these Amoraim hold that the one who recites the bracha gets more reward than the one who answered Amen. I will tell you have a price of Hakir, Rabbi Yosem, Gorlonom, Yosem, and Amavarech. The Gemara says it's a machloike Satan, and Tanoi, Tanya, Echan Amavarech, Echan Anam, and Bimashma, they both get schar. So it's a machloike satanon. Yeah, what else is an afkamina? Here, the Gemara has an afkamina. Chatov ebrich. Should I try to avoid benching mezumin? Or should I try to seize the opportunity that I should be davka? Yes, bench mezumin. Is it better to be the Eino Amen or is it better to be the Mevar? Tosis in Chulin has a funny story. The Gabbai once called up someone for an aliyah. And another wise guy ran up and he grabbed the aliyah and he said, Baruch Has Hashem Avorach, and the people didn't realize that he wasn't the one who was called up. So they went along in the Balkori Lane, Shang, so he stole the aliyah from the other one. So the Gemara has a din over there in Chulin on Daf Pizayin, that if you steal a mitzvah from somebody else, you have to pay Asor HaZehuvin. What do you mean, I steal a mitzvah? Why does the mitzvah belong to him? What, shake a lulav? Everybody has to shake a lulav. So you're not stealing the mitzvah. No, the Gemara there, that's in Perkisi Adam. So the Gemara says, the one who did the shechita on the chayviyof, he has the first crack at doing the kisi adam. He has the right to do kisi adam. And if he wants to be mechabed someone else, so then the other person will do the kisi adam. So the Gemara tells a story. One person shechted a chayviyof, and he was planning to do the kisi adam. Another fellow comes and he grabs the mitzvah. He just takes offer, puts offer malmailo, offer malmata. So he stole the mitzvah from the first fellow. So the Gemara says, you got to pay asar azuhu. So then, so Tesis has the Shaila. The Gabbai called up Pliny for an aliyah and said, different person grabbed the aliyah. So does he have to pay for stealing the aliyah? So Tesis says no. And they come up with this Einfall. Tesis thinks that the accepted opinions like Rabbi Yossi, is Machlekes Satanayim. The accepted opinions like Rabbi Yossi, Gadol Hanam and Yossi Menam Avorech. So Adarabah. So I gave him Moschar. By my grabbing the aliyah, whoever gets an aliyah is stuck. The Gabbai is sticking you with an aliyah, that you're getting less reward. The people who listen get more reward. The one in Davin Sfar Anamid is a griusa. It's better not to Davin Sfar Anamid. The one who doesn't Davin Sfar Anamid is going to be Oina Amid if he's going to pay attention to the tefillah. So the Oina Amid gets more reward than the one who says the bracha. So you always try not to get an aliyah. So the Gabbai called up Pliny for an aliyah. Someone else grabbed the aliyah. He did him a taiva. He didn't do him a raw. He didn't cheat him. When someone else does the kisi adam, so they stole the mitzvah from me. But if someone else says a bracha and I say amen, so adarabah, so he's giving me something very valuable. He's giving me the aniyah something which is worth more. That's what Tosfos paskens. That if you steal an aliyah from someone else, you don't have to pay based on the assumption that the maskana is like Rabbi Yosef. Gadol hanam and Yosef menam levarach. Why should it be Gadol hanam and Yosef menam levarach? So the Gemara gives a mashal. From the soldiers in the army, that first they send in at this the first battalion just to start the war, and then they send the Giborim in afterwards and they win the war. After the Gulairin Yardim Umizgorim bin Muhammad, they start the war. But then later on, the army releases the Giborim and they're Yardim and Menatzim. So they get involved. That's the Nitzachim. So here, the one who answers Amen, sounds like Amen is a chelik of the bracha itself. So the one who answers Amen is the Gemara of the bracha. So that's if it's stronger than the bracha itself. Yeah. That's the mashal that they give. Why is that so? I don't know. It's harder to pay attention. But like Shabbatim, it's easier to shoot your mouth off than to pay attention to other people. So if you pay attention, you say Amen, so that's, you deserve more reward for that. I don't know.
It's crazy. You have the bracha plus the army. You have two things.
Okay.
Right, how does the mashal make sense? The war strategy, you send the weak soldiers first, you lose all the weak soldiers, and then the Giborim are going to win the war anyway. Just send the Giborim and win the war. How does it fit logically?
I don't know. Then the Gemara can. Then the Gemara has Lusha. The boy menei Shmuel Meirav. Ma'al anasam anachet tinokas shabes rab. Little children, they're reading a siddur and they say brachas in class. So the people who pass by the cheder and they hear them screaming out all the brachas in the morning, should they say amen or not? So what does he answer? Amalei achar hakol adam amen chutz mitinokas shabes rabon. He answers amen whenever someone says any bracha. Whether you want to be yotzi, you don't want to be yotzi. He says asher yotzi. He says shakli. He says bar nefoshes. You say amen, not only after Chazaras HaShatz, after Birchas HaShachar, that the Chazan said, you always say amen. Achar HaKol Onim Amen. Even if you don't want to be Yotze with the Bracha, except for little children, Hola L'Islam and Asim, because they're only reciting the Brachas for practice in reading Hebrew. They're not being Yotze any Bracha. V'hani, mili b'dis, only provided b'dloi idan mifterayu. Avo b'idan mifterayu onim. Then sometimes you do answer amen when the little children say a bracha. What does it mean be'idan mifterayu? So Rashi translates mifterayu miloshen haftorah. Apparently the minig in the days of Rashi and the days of Gemara was that they wouldn't give little children an aliyah. The Mishnah says hakalolim. The Mishnah Megillah says hakalolim leminyan shiva. Afilu cotton. A cotton can get an aliyah. Cotton can get an aliyah. So in Shulchan Aruch, the meaning is that you only give a cotton mafter. You don't give him an aliyah. Why not? So we mentioned once the Magen Avraham, Reish Pei Beis. You have Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah twice. You have it in Shachris on a regular weekday, Sheni B'chamisha. Then you have it in Hilchas Shabbos and Reish Pei Beis. And Reish, so half of the dinim are here, half of the dinim are there. It's a little bit confusing. You have to, whenever you want to know a din in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, you have to look in both places. Because the din may be here, the din may be there. So you look in Reish Pei Beis, and the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim. What does that Mishnah mean? That Hakalonu Minyan Shiva Kruim Afilu Kotten doesn't mean the Kotten can be the Balkore, but he cannot say the Bracha not before, not after. Bizman HaTanoim, the one who got the first Aliyah said the Bracha Shabbacha Bonon, the one who got the last Aliyah said the Bracha Shanasan. The middle people just laying. They didn't say the Bracha Satara. So it doesn't mean a Kotten can get an Aliyah, the middle Aliyahs, where you don't see any Brachas, so you just have to lay. So the laying he can do. But to say the bracha is that he can't. He's not Nishayin B'chuy B'davra any Matzir Abnes Dechavosim. Cotton can. And the other day in the Rishayim is punk the opposite. The cotton can be oiler leminyan akruim. He can't lay. He can say the brachas because the brachas of the one who gets an aliyah for himself, the brachas are not for the tzibah. It's not being moitzid the tzibah. The first opinion in the Rishayim held parker. The brachas for Kriyas HaTorah to be moitzid the tzibah. So how can a cotton say the Birchas HaTorah to be moitzid the tzibah? The Kriyas HaTorah is not. That's not based on being moitzid them. The Kotten is learning Talmud Torah and everyone is paying attention, so they're all learning together. The other day is Punkt Fakir, that the brachas he can say, the brachas of an Oil Ala Torah are personal, but the laning, that's to be Maitzi Ritzibas, he can't do that. So because of the Machlokes is HaRishonim, so the Magen Avraham said that's what the meaning is, that we don't give him any Aliyah, because some Rishonim hold he can't lane, some Rishonim hold can't say the brachas, so we're left with nothing. Either Mishnah says in Gan Aliyah, we're not sure what the Mishnah is referring to, which part of the Aliyah is okay. So since there are opposing opinions, so we don't let him get it all. But the minig is that a cotton does get mafter. I remember I got mafter a lot of times before my bar mitzvah. So that's how Rashi translates, be'idam if the rayu, if the little kid before bar mitzvah is reciting the haftarah. So of course he say amen. He's not saying it for practice of kriya. He's davening. However old he is on his level of understanding, he understands what he's saying in the haftar. That's how Rashi translates. Be'idna miftarai, when the child is reciting maftar. The Rosh interprets the word miftaraihu as leaving. Nifta machaber, you put the man on the mitoch dvar alochem, when you're leaving. So the Rosh writes that the Yisaimim, this Rosh is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. One who lost a parent, so it's considered a schus for the parent if the child will be serve as the shliach tzibur. What if the child who lost the parent is before bar mitzvah? So you can't let him daven for an omer. The Mishnah says you have to be bar mitzvah to serve as the shliach tzibur. So that's why they instituted the Kaddish Yosem after Aleinu on behalf of the Ketanim. The one who daven for an omer doesn't need the Kaddish Yosem after Aleinu. He can daven for an omer. That's the most that a person can do as a schus for the parent who died. But the children before bar mitzvah can't do that. They can't serve as the shliach tzibur. So they instituted a minhag to recite the Kaddish after Aleinu at the end of the whole davening. So the katan, who's a yosim, will be able to say something. So that's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch. The one who davened for an omer doesn't really have to say the Kaddish after Aleinu. The Kaddish after Aleinu is for the other people. Years ago, maybe they still have it now, but I remember years ago when I used to daven in shul with the Balabatim, so the one who had yahrzeit would daven for an omer, and then everybody would say all the kaddishim together, but then they would give one kaddish to the yahrzeit. So they would announce after Aleinu, after the Shir Shal Yom, they would announce yahrzeit. So only the one who had yahrzeit would say the kaddish, and the others wouldn't say. So really, they should have done faket, they should have said yahrzeit. The one who had yahrzeit daven for an omer should not say the kaddish. The others who didn't daven for an omer, whoever lost, whoever wins, and he's given, the Gabbai gives him the schus, the dam for anam, so what does he have to say? The Kaddish after Aleinu. Kaddish after Aleinu, the way the Rosh says, was instituted for the Ketanim. And it's quoted in Yeridei. The Ramah quotes this Ramon, yeah, in the end of Yeridei. So that's what the Rosh translates. Be'idah mifterayu, when the children would learn in Cheder, and they would finish learning, so if one of them was a Yosam before Bar Mitzvah, and he wasn't able to serve as the, let's say, the Ganadam Mincha, Mayri, after they finished learning. So he's not able to serve as the Shliach Tzibur. So the second best we will do is, as they're leaving, so they would recite the Kaddish Derabbanan. So they have this little kid say the Kaddish Derabbanan at the end. So then you should say Amen. The kid is not saying Kaddish Derabbanan out of practice, Kriya. He's saying Kaddish Derabbanan. He knows what he's saying. So then you should answer Amen. The Idan Nifterayu, when they're leaving the Cheder. That's what on the bottom of the page of the Rosh, so the Madani Yontav has a comment. What do you mean? You have a cheder with all young children. They're all 8, 9 year olds. They're 8 or 9 years old. So you don't have a minyan of 10 adults. So what do you mean? How does the kid say Kaddish? So he says, no, you have to have a minyan of 10 people who are passed bar mitzvah. And then the kid before bar mitzvah can daven for an omer. So that's where Moshe Feinstein has. Many shuls have a junior congregation, where all the kids before bar mitzvah gather together and they make their own shliach tzibah, they have their own chazaras hashatz, and they have their own kriyas haTorah. So Moshe says you can't do that. You can't have a junior congregation consisting of 10 ketanim. You have to have 10 gedolim, and then you can let a katan daven for an omer. But the katan is going to daven for an omer, so how can the katan is going to say baruch Hu, is going to daven for an omer? So those who are passed by mitzvah can't be yaitzeh. So it's Rav Soloveitchik also said like that. They asked him about a junior congregation. So he didn't know about Rav Moshe, about anything. He said, yeah, you can't have, the Ritva says on the first daf in Sukkah, the Gemara says on the first daf in Sukkah, that for the sake of chinuch, you have to see to it that the children sit in a Sukkah that's kosher. Even though chinuch is only the Rabban, chinuch doesn't stop mean to practice. You have to practice with a kosher Sukkah. And that's what the Ritva points out. You see from that Gemara, you have to give a kosher esrik to the child. Usually the people who sell the dalad minim, so they sell a real kosher set of dalad minim, costs $60, whatever. And if you want a chinuch set, they'll sell you for $5. What's a chinuch set? Puzzle. All the dalad minim are puzzle. They're not acceptable for adults. So there is no such thing as a chinuch set. If it's puzzle, you're not allowed to use it for the purpose of chinuch. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes that Rav Moshe has a whole arichas hana, whether you need shalachem for the purpose of chinuch. Do you need to demakna the dalaminim to the katana? Because if it's not shalachem, the din is that it's not yotze, but it's not that the lulav and the esrog got fossil. It's a condition of being yotze the mitzvah. And the kid is not being yotze the mitzvah anyway. It's only the shem chinuch. But you can't do chinuch with the pasul alulu, even though the kid doesn't realize that it's a pasul alulu. You can't do chinuch with the pasul esrei. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, like Rav Moshe. He said, what do you mean? That's not a chinuch to have a junior congregation with 10 tanim and the kid is going to daven for an amid and the kid is going to learn kriyas haTorah. He thought that that's an improper chinuch. Chinuch has to be kiddin. So you need asar gedolim.
Rav
Shechter?
So we have a situation, the katan is really b'shut sabir until he gets to the edge of bar mitzvah, isn't he? So I thought if the father buys a kosher lula and esrog, so then the katan should be even if he didn't need shilachim for the mitzvah, even if the katan would need it, he's b'shut sabir. So isn't it considered like the same kinyan?
No, they're two different people. The lula belongs to the father. The son is not a shutuf with the father. We pass on shutfus is no good. Let's say two people bought a dalad min of a shutfus, so they're not yotze in the state of shutfus. When Reuben wants to be yotze, Shimon has to be makna him his hair. And when Shimon wants to be yotze, Reuben has to be makna him his hair. Has to be kul shalachem. That's the common, that's the way we usually assume. It's questionable why we assume like that, but that's what we usually assume, that you're not yotze b'shal shutfus. The Gemara in Chulin has the rule. Sometimes you have certain mitzvahs where you can fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus and sometimes not. So the Gemara says, how do you know what's the rule to determine whether you can fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus or not? Gemara says the rule is whether it's written in the Chumash b'loshin yochad or b'loshin rabbi. So when, let's say over it says, gulakachtum lochem b'yomarishim. It says in the plural. So you should really say that you can be yotze b'shutfus. So that's akasha. How come the Gemara seems to say that you're not yotze dalad min b'shutfus? Has to belong to the person. So if the father owns a dalad minim, the son is not a shutuf. Belongs to the father, not the son. They're two different people. You're right, he is b'shu sali, but the bialus on the dalad minim belongs to the father. So if the kid wants to be yotze, the Gemara says the father has to, we assume shat and gemara, has to be makna to the kid. Those are the 2 days in achrayim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. So you really need shalachem for the sake of chinuch. Maybe the kid's not being yotze anyway. But you do need that they should be kosher dalad minim. So that's the second shot is the Rashbi. Now Rashi learns be the Miftarai when they're reciting Maftir. The Rashi interprets Miftarai when they're leaving the Cheder after a whole day's learning, so the child who would be Ayosim wouldn't be able to serve as the Shliach Tzibus. The second best is to recite the Kaddish Yosim after or later that was instituted Milachatchila for the Ketanim. And other Rishonim say be the Miftarai is neither like the Rosh nor like Rashi. Miftarai means are they pattering themselves? The kid is... The children in Cheder are davening. They're not practicing Kriya. If it's Islamate, if they're just practicing Kriya, instead of having a joke book to read in Hebrew, you give the child a sitter. You say, start reading him. And says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Okein Malchum, doesn't know what he's saying. He's just practicing Oisius with Nikudas. Then you don't see Amen. But be the Miftarai means if the children know they're saying a bracha, you tell them, say the bracha Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Yav, Shalos Ani Yishud. They're reading the brachas from the sitter. That's be the miftarai. They're pattering themselves. They're being yotze the mitzvah. Other Bishanim line miftarai means they're pattering themselves. They're being yotze. It's all the same thing. Halacha ma'isa. Everybody agrees. It all boils down to the same thing. Just three different ways how to translate the word. Whether miftarai means reciting maftir, miftarai means they're about to leave the cheder at the end of a whole day's learning, so that someone would recite kaddish derabbanan. Miftarai means that they're pattering themselves from the bracha. So that's the din. Let's say if you have a very young child who doesn't understand what brachas are all about, but the parents want to train him to say, says really akot and shalom higil achinuch. So the parents train him to say baruch atah, or the child sees the parents always say a bracha, so he wants to mimic the parents and he wants to say a bracha. So then the child doesn't know bichlal, has no musag of what a bracha means. So that's probably not correct to say amen after the bracha, unless the kid is going to feel bad. How come you don't say Amen after my bracha? He's going to have a taina. So the answering Amen is also part of the chinuch. For the sake of chinuch, you're permitted to say a bracha levatolah. For the sake of chinuch, you're allowed to say Amen levatolah also. But let's say, for the sake of chinuch of a very young child, he doesn't understand what a bracha is. He doesn't understand what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is bechlal. So there is no chi of chinuch there. So that's not right, that the parents should say Shem Hashem in order to be mechanach the child. They really shouldn't say. They should say, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to say bracha levatolah to train a child. If the child is a gil achinuch, he understands what the concept of a bracha is. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying. But if he doesn't understand b'chalal, that's not right. So that's a shayla. What about amin levatola? He's a little child and he's saying a bracha, doesn't know b'chalal what a bracha means, doesn't understand anything. So there is no mitzvah b'chinuch over there. So, and the kid feels bad why the parents are not answering amen. So is that proper to say amen? I don't know. He didn't say a bracha, strictly speaking. The bracha was nishken bracha.
What does it mean for the child to understand what a bracha is all about?
Yes, to understand that there's an elikus, that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the whole world, and the Ribbono Shel Olam sees to it that the fruits grow from the ground, and the ice cream, who gives us the ice cream? Hashem gives us the ice cream. You should understand a little bit that there's a... Sometimes the children just say Hashem, they don't know what it means. But if the child has a psalmusav, there's a certain minimum age that a child has to be before he can understand such an abstract concept. That there is a power who runs the whole world, who's in charge of everything.
Is there a problem teaching a child who doesn't yet understand the concept? Is there a problem with teaching them Shem Hashem?
It's probably not a mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch only makes sense if the child understands something about a bracha. He has to understand the lakus, something.
One teaches a child that doesn't understand yet to say a bracha, and they're going to go off saying brachas even when they're not eating anything, just they're going to say Hashem's name a lot. But their problem...
It's probably not right.
So one should stop them.
Yeah. Causing the child to do an aver, to be motzi Hashem Shemaim l'matomah, that's not right. Yeah, we live in a generation that the parents are very eager, everybody's very eager to push Gemara on the little children. They don't even know, they don't know Chumash, they don't know Mishnah. What are you pushing Gemara? They don't begin to understand what you're hacking up. So we start pushing them that they should say bracha at such a young age, you don't even understand. But that's not really chinuch. Yeah, so bottom line, all the Rishonim say the same thing. They just have three different ways to translate the word niftarai. Yeah, what does Gemara have by Tatar Rabbanon Shemen Ma'akevis HaBrachah? Now they're talking about benching. If you didn't wash your fingers with Shemen, so you're not allowed to recite Birchas Hamazon. And Divrei Reb Ziloy. Reb Ziloy Yomer Eina Ma'akev. Shoy. So Reb Ziloy Ma'akev. It's Reb Ziloy Yomer Shemen Toiv Mi'akev. It is Mi'akev. Reb Zuh Hamo Yomer. Kishem Shem Mezun Pasul Avayda. Mezun Pasul Avayda means if you have a korban. So if you have a korban that has a mum, so you're not allowed to be Ma'akev. What if the korban doesn't have a mum, but it's old and it's falling apart? It's not a trefa, it's not a balmum. But it doesn't look healthy. It's mizuham. So mizum is pasul lahakrava agamim is bech. A kohen who's a mizuman, a kohen who's a balmum is pasul. A kohen who's a mizuham, he's just old and he looks ancient. A kohen looks old and ancient, sometimes he looks very dignified, old and ancient. Okay? But if he doesn't look old and dignified, he looks mizuham, so it's also not like pasul avayim. If your fingers are sticky, so you're not allowed to say bar nefesh, you're not allowed to say birchas hamazon, not allowed to dam, and you have to wash your hands off before. Yeah. What's the definition of sticky? So that's what Tosis talks about. So Tosis has like this: when you finish eating, would you insist on washing your hands before you touch your shirt because you're going to get your shirt greasy, or before you touch a gemara sefer because you're going to get the sefer all greasy and sticky? Oh no, your fingers are not sticky. You ate with a fork and a knife and a spoon, and you didn't you touch the bread, but you didn't touch anything that's sticky. Anything that's sticky, you ate with a fork or a spoon, and your fingers are not sticky. And if you'd be touching your shirt, you wouldn't feel uncomfortable. So then there's no yadayim zohamas psulas lebrochet. That's not a problem. There's another consideration. Tosfos says unrelated consideration of melach sedaimus. That's a different Gemara. Melach Sedaimus Mesames Hayinayim. So for health purposes, you have to wash Mayim Achrayinim in order to remove the Melach Sedaimus. There's a Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Erevin, where the Mishnah says that the soldiers in the army, Abar Dvarim Patrim Amachne, the rabbis gave four leniencies to the soldiers in the Jewish army. One of them is, they don't have unlimited supplies of water. They need the water to drink. So they don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. So the Gemara says, Hanimile, that's only... Mayim Rishayim with Mekel, they don't have to wash. But Mayim Achrayim still has Sakana. If they're not going to wash Mayim Achrayim, they're going to rub their fingers in their eyes with the Melech Sedaimus. It'll be unhealthy. So the Gemara says Mayim Achrayim is a Chayv. Even the soldiers in the army have to wash Mayim Achrayim. Tosfos says Avalon Hashem Melech Sedaimus Matzah B'Nein. Vein On Arigin Lita Lachar Asuda. We have neither problem. Tosfos says we don't have your Daim Zuhamas. Maybe their Gemaras and their shirts were all greased up already. Whatever. they weren't concerned about grease. They wouldn't wash their hands. If it would be a nochri, the most coveting person, they wouldn't wash their hands. So there's no melech sadamis, and neither consideration applies. There's a debate in the Rishonim whether you say bracha on until it's a dime when you wash my machreinim. A machleg is the Rambam and the Raivit. The Rambam, I think that's in Hilchas Brachas. That's in Hilchas Brachas, that machleg is. The Rambam says, because the Gemara says, Maim Rishonim mitzvah, Maim Achreinim chova. So a lot of Rishonim understand what does the term chova mean? Something you're obligated to do, but it's not a mitzvah. And Birchas HaMitzvah only applies if technically it's a mitzvah. If it's something you have to do, but it's not a mitzvah, you don't recite a bracha. Take for example, after you shech the behemoth, so you have to treba the flesh. You have to remove the chalev and the dam. So it's usually done by the guy, by the shvatzim in the slaughterhouse. It's not done by the rabbi. Usually the rabbi doesn't know what's the chalev and what's the dam. The shvatzim shows him what's also bahachila, what's also. What's the chalev and what's the dam. So that's not a mitzvah. It's something that has to be done in order to be allowed to eat the meat. So that you don't say a bracha. So the Rambam understands over here, like Tosfos understands, Maim Rishonim is a mitzvah, and that's why you have to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. Maim Achreinim is a chayva. There ain't no such thing as a Birchas HaChayva. There's a Birchas HaNenin, Birchas HaShevach, Birchas HaDoya, and Birchas HaMitzvah. Four categories. Birchas HaNenin, Birchas HaShevach, Birchas HaDoya. Birchas HaDoya means if I gain the benefit. I just, my father died and I got a big Yerusha. So I say, Bracha, Atoy Vameit, whatever. And if a tragedy occurred, my father died, so I say, Baruch Nayin HaEmes, okay? So that's also Birchas Hoidoya. We assume that Kishem Shem Baruch HaMala Tev Kach Mavaruch HaMala Ra, the Kol Ma'adaber Rachman Ala Tav Abis. So it's also Birchas Hoidoya. I don't understand what the Teva is, that my father died, so that, and my perception is that it's a tragedy, so that's why the Nusach HaBracha is Baruch Nayin HaEmes. But it's really supposed to be a Birchas Hoidoya. We're supposed to have Amunah, that's how the Gemara says. The Mishnah says in the next paragraph, on the next daf, Kishem Shem Vavorcham Ala Toi V'Kachem Vavorcham Ala Roi. The Gemara says, what do you mean Kishem? He is saying Toi V'Metiv, he is saying Dainan. The Gemara says, no, you have to be Mekabel B'Simcha. He said, the both are Birchas HaShevach. The both are Birchas Hoidoy. Then you have a Birchas HaShevach, when I see lightning and I hear thunder, I see beautiful mountains and so on. So it's not a Toi V'Metiv to me. There's no Hoidoy. I'm not thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom for making the thunder and the lightning. I'm just praising the Rebbeinu Shalom that he has such power. On the Gvuras Hashem. So that's a Birchas HaShevach. So you have usually lump it together, Birchas HaShevach, but they're really two different things. One is Birchas HaShevach, one is Birchas HaDor. Then you have Birchas HaNen, and then you have Birchas HaMitzvahs. So if there's something that the Gemara refers to as a Chayva, means something you have to do, but technically speaking, it's not really, it doesn't qualify as a mitzvah, so therefore you don't recite the bracha. So that's the Loshon HaGemara. Maim Rishonim mitzvah, Maim Achreinim Chayva. Chayva means something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. So that's what the Rambam writes. You don't, I think there's such a Rambam, you don't recite a bracha here. Perek Vav in Hilchas Brachas Halacha Beis. Kol Hanoytel Yodav, one who washes in the Tilis Yadayim. The Rambam's opinion is when you wash in the morning, you say, Al Tilis Yadayim, that's the Gemara in the end of the Masichta. Later, the Gemara says, when you wake up in the morning, you say, Al Tilis Yadayim, probably Samach on the Beis. The Gemara has all the brachas. Mars says, when you wake up, one has step by step, so who doesn't have that? He's saying all these brachas. Yeah. By the small letter chav, ki mashi yadi leim b'brachas Hashem, and so on until it's yadai. So the Rambam's opinion is, by the small letter chav, around 20 lines from the bottom of Samach on the base. From the Gemara, it sounds like he says all the other brachas before. He's saying all the brachas before he washes his hands and says Al Tilis Yadayim. We don't have that practice. You say Al Tilis Yadayim before you say all the brachas. So the Rambam quotes that then washing your hands before shachris is because of davening. So the Rambam holds you have to wash with the bracha before mincha and you have to wash your hands with the bracha before ma'ariv also whenever you're about to daven. So the Rambam says here in Perek Vav Halacha Beis and Hilchas Brachas Kol HaNetel Yadav, whoever is washing the Tilis Yadayim because of a Takanas Chacham and Bein Lachila, Bein Lekriyashma, Bein Letvila. Whether he plans to daven Shachris Mincha Marei, he plans to eat a sandwich, he has to recite the Bracha first, Tchila, not like the Taisus. They say the Bracha on the Tilis Yadayim, Lachar Asi Yosem. Mevorach Tchila, Shei Kedushanu, Bein Mitzvot, Shei Tzimano, Anu Tilis Yadayim, Shizu Mitzvot, Chachamim, Shein Es Taveinim, En Atara Lishmai, Mehem, Shein Am Alpi Atara, Shei Aruchah. Mayim Achreinim, Zokta, Eilim, Mevorach Amaleim, That's why you have to be more careful about the Mayim Achronim than about the Mayim Rishonim. That's what Gemara said about the soldiers in the army. So on this, when the Rambam writes that no bracha is recited, and Tosis writes like that also. Because the Gemara's lashon is Mayim Achronim Chayvam. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, Mayim Achronim Chayvam. The Gemara says, Shani Yomer, Bemam Adlik, and the Gemara says, Shani Yomer, Hadlokas Haner Be'er Shabbos Chayvam. So one opinion in Tosis is that that lashon means that you have to light candles, but you don't bench licht. You don't say a bracha. We, by us, it's so common. You say bench licht. Everybody knows you say a bracha. Lahadlik ne'ashal Shabbos. So Tosis has two opinions about that. The first opinion is you don't say a bracha because the Gemara says Shani Yoyim Abai says my opinion is hadlokas haner be'er Shabbos is a chayv. Chayv is a technical term that means something you have to do and you don't recite a bracha. So then the Ravid disagrees. He says, yeah, there are some goyim, ani shamayte b'shemushi agonim kadmoinim, that some say like that, that there is a bracha, no bracha. So then the Ravid suggests a compromise. That Tosis said over here, two different, based on two different Gemaras, two different considerations, why you have to wash my machreinim. So one Gemara says, because there's a problem of Melech Sedomis. The other Gemara says, because. The Gemara says, Melech Sedomis, it's a sakonis. Even the soldiers in the army have to wash my machreinim. The other Gemara says, it's a religious ritual. You have to wash my machrenim because kishem shemazuam posel avoyde kach yadam zuhamis psulus lebracha. So that's a religious consideration. That's not a health consideration. The soldiers in the army don't have to wash my rishonim. So they don't have unlimited supply of water. So you should really relieve them from my machrenim. If you're only concerned about mezuam yadam zuhamis psulus lebracha, you should relieve them about religious ritual. Should only require of them that they should wash Mayim Achronim if you have the health concern of the Melech Sedomis. So that's what the Ravid suggests, the compromise. If you're concerned about Melech Sedomis, that's only for health concern. So that you don't say a bracha. When you brush your teeth, when you wash your face for health purposes, when you do things that are good, when you take a shower that's good, healthy, so you don't say a bracha when you do things that are healthy. But if you're washing your hands to recite Birchas Hamazon, because Yadayim Zohamas Psulus LaBracha, so that's a religious ritual. So the Ravid says maybe then you should say bracha, because that's not required for health purposes. If it's done for health purposes, it's not really a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do something that's detrimental to your health. The Gemara says also Lodom Lachbo Biatzmo. You're not allowed to commit suicide. You're not allowed to cause harm to your health. So if washing, if there's a concern of Melech Sedomis, of course you have to wash your hands, but that's not a fulfillment of a mitzvah. That's, you didn't violate an avera. You're going to rub your fingers and you're going to rub your eyes with your fingers and you have Melech Sedomis, that's an avera. So if you wash your hands, so you're saving yourself, you're sparing yourself from violating an avera. So for that, you don't recite a bracha. But if you're going to wash my machrenim because of this concern, because of the Yadayim Zohamis Psulus LeBracha, then the Ravid says that that makes sense that one should say a bracha.
What's it got to do with benching?
Take it when the tefillah bracha. You do it because of sakana. Anytime you touch the sword, you should wash your hands immediately. And then later on, after he finishes an hour later, he finds water. So it doesn't make sense that he should wash his hands. So if the whole concern was the Yadayim Zohamis, so it doesn't make sense to wash your hands later. But if the concern is Melech Sedomis, even after he finished benching an hour ago, he should still wash his hands. Yeah.
I mean, what's the halacha? Here we're makbid by my machronim.
Right.
And Yehuda says by the first bracha we're not makbid, take it from the deal. Why should there be a hakpada and take it from the bracha, take it from the deal of bracha?
It must be because of this concern here. Yadayim Zohamis mistam. Yadayim Zohamis psulus lebracha. That's like going to mikveh before the kohen does the avoda. That's like washing your hands until Sidai before you daven.
Why is there an assistance
on take if only over here, not over there? I don't know.
When you see Yadayim Zohamis Psulus LeBracha, is it clear that this refers to any bracha at all, or could it be only Birkas HaMazon and with a separate thing we learned from 9th chapter about Tefillah? But the stam bracha is
Birkas HaMazon.
Could it be that
the Gemara Chulin talks about Mayim and Tzoyim? Right. They used to serve different courses in the meal. So you have to say bar min zaynus on the next course, bar pi adam on the next course. If they didn't wash until they died, or if you serve things dvarim habam shalom machmas asude, but you got to say a bracha. So the Gemara talks about ma'im and soyin in order to be allowed to recite the next bracha.
It says ma'im and soyin reshus.
It's only reshus.
It's a reshus anytime when it's not ben gavshil ben gvindel of tavshil. So you still give you a bracha if you have cake or something and things. But you say that these other brachos, which are relatively minor, to Rabbanon, then and they're short. To have clean hands with them, but there's no.
So your daimis armas would not be puzzle. Uh-huh. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Rishus. So it's not a chayim. Okay, so it's only for benching.
Seems.
And for davening.
Same way Yeter and Yitof and all these concerns we have about benching and Ali, we don't have these for other
other
brachos.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So again, so Bismana Gemara, when they didn't have spoons and forks and knives, and the people were makbid on the sticky fingers, after they would finish, they wouldn't walk around with the sticky fingers. They didn't want to touch their sifrei Torah. They didn't want to touch the sun. They didn't want to touch their clothing. So that's your dinus of hummus, psulas lebrocha. So you got to wash. Tosis says, in the days of the Balei HaTosis, it depends. Tosis concludes. Umiyu anoshim mihu nogim, sensitive people, harigilim litei dem achar asuda. Some people are very touchy. And they will absolutely, definitely insist on washing their hands after the meal before they're going to touch their clothing, before they're going to touch their furniture, because they're going to get everything sticky. So then Taisa says, so then it's called Mizuhamas. Those people have to wash my machrein. But we, Avalonu, Taisa says, we're not makbid. So since there's no kpeh there, so Tosis did away with the both. The Melech Dam is not Motzei B'Neinu, and it's not called Mizuhamas.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Harogil, how does Gemara say Loshen? Gemara says, some people just have to wash Mayim Achareinu with water, and other people have to wash with Shemen, that the water is not even enough. They would insist to remove the zuhama, or the stickiness of the fingers. But you have to have shemen as well. So that's what one of the Amoraim says. Shemen makar tana ban tana, not an Amoraim. Tana says, shemen makar b'sabrocha. Shemen toiv miyakev, okay. Ano lo ziloi, what does Rav Nachman say? Ano lo ziloi, b'lo zivoi, lo zomoi, I don't know what all these tanoim, I don't know. He says, I know, elamastita yedain, I know a braisa. Why? The Masnita Tana, we have a Bryce, Vis Kadishim, the Isim Kadoshim, Elamayim Rishayim, Elamayim Achrayim. Yeah. And then the Bryce continues, Ki Kodesh Ani, Hashem Elokechem, refers to the Shemen, even after washing your hands with the Mayim, if the Minik HaMokim is for the Gemara of the Kpeda, the Goyim in the community, everybody has that Minik that they wash their fingers with Shemen, so that's Makiv in the Brochen. Whatever there's a kpeid on makes the yadayim into mizuhom, so that's makiv in the bracha. Okay.
Have you read that in the Gemara? It's all the whole shemen thing is based on kpeid in
that Gemara. That's what Taisa seems to learn.
Didn't say about shemen.
Right.
Shemen seems to be some kind of extra ritual to enjoy.
Did we have a Gemara before? Haragol b'shemen, shemen miyakfo. We had that in Shlosh Shalpo. We didn't have it.
Membeis.
Is that the Loshen HaGemara? Haragol b'shemen. The Loshen HaGemara. Haragol b'shemen, shemen miyakfo. It's in the Gemara, about 10 lines above the Mishnah. A membeis and an alpha. Amar Rav, haragol b'shemen, shemen miyakfo. Rav is interpreting that that's what this braisa means. Christ says Shemin Miyakib, Shemin Tom Yakib means one is Rogel B'Shemin, like Tessa says, Nemayim Achreinim is Ma'akib, if you're Rogel, Nemayim Achreinim. Anoshim Unogim, or Igilim Likali Yidei Machrasud, he said, Vade Lehem Yakib is Anatila. So Rogel B'Shemin, Shemin Miyakib. Yeah. Tessa's got this idea, Regilis, from that Gemara, Rogel B'Shemin.
So So when the Grof was so machtif by Machlon of his manen, would he also say, at least the Chatchila, seems even to the end, that you would need the Shemen?
I don't know. Did the Vilna Gaon watch for Shemen?
I don't know. Maybe the Gemara learns from the Pasuk, so you think Rashi thought so, that it's not dependent on the whole ritual by Machlon isn't dependent on cultural circumstances. Shouldn't he say, you should also watch with Shemen?
Maybe not. Maybe that the Gemara said the Ferish, Arava B'Shem. Maybe he just disagrees with the Tosis. The Tosis says that the Mayim Achranim depends on Rogel. The Shein Rogel doesn't need it, so he said that doesn't say anything.
If that's only the Ikuva, Rogel B'Shem and Shem Ma'akiva, and everyone else, it's not Ma'akiv, but it's.
I don't know.
Rock, you cut a little bit.
I just bought the 3-volume set on the Vilna Gaon. I didn't look at it yet. So I gotta start reading and see what they have. I don't know.
I don't think it says anymore in the Hagos.
What?
I don't think it says anymore in the Tami didn't bring up that he had such an
that he washed with Shemin. So that hastens that. He took the Gemara, Harogo B'Shemin. If you're not Rogo B'Shemin, you don't need. And over here, Tosis had it on Harogo B'Mayim. So that he disagreed with Tosis. He assumed other Rishonim disagreed with Tosis. Tosis took it from the Gemara and they extended it even to the Mayim, so that he disagreed.
So should we
wash
with soap?
Should we wash with soap?
Yeah, in our culture, people rub yellow not with shemen, but with soap. That's how we wash our hands, and when we want to get schmutz off. So, we rub yellow.
For my Rishonim, we're makbid to wash, everyone's makbid to wash your hands before you. The guy are also makbid,
okay.
So we should probably wash with soap. We should probably wash with soap before you wash. Then until it's dying with the, you should probably wash the soap top and get off the door.
And
but the Mai Machrenim, are people mocked, but after they finish eating a meal to wash their hands, it's soap.
If our hands are sticky?
If the hands are sticky.
We should, since if our hands are sticky to the extent that we're, we'd be bothered in other situations, we would wash the soap. So should we also wash the soap with bracha?
It should.
Just in this dose of?
Probably should. Just like Shemen Miatma. The soap is the Shemen. Okay? So Rav Hashem, so the soap is mak. Okay. One is makbid always to wash his hand with soap after he ate to get off the stickiness, and then he should do that before he benches, before he says the bracha. Okay. I mentioned instead of I'm going out of town tomorrow evening, and I won't be here on Sunday. So we'll learn on Monday and Tuesday. Then Tuesday night I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So. Rather than start the last perek now, maybe we should start the first perek. The first perek is a little easier than the last perek. The topics are more familiar. So maybe we'll start now. We'll continue. The Masechta begins. This is Shisha Sidra Mishnah. The Mishnah is beginning. The Mishnah begins with the mitzvah Kriya Shma Shel Erev. They quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Why did the Rabbi Vanasi start from Kriya Shema? So he says, when a child becomes bar mitzvah, it's usually assumed he becomes bar mitzvah the Tchilas HaYom of Israel. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Shkia, let's say, was 5:30 on Zayin Adar that year. So when does he become bar mitzvah? So the Gemara says, Me'ais li'ais. Gemara says an erech and it becomes by mitzvah meis leis. So it's a big machlokes in Rishonim. How do you translate meis leis? So one half of the Rishonim say meis leis means it becomes by mitzvah 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 13 years later on Zayin Adar. And that's not the popularly accepted opinion. We usually, even though it's really a big split, it's kemat 50-50. Rishonim Achrayim. Of Soloveitchik always used to laugh at that. He thought that was a joke. But you look in the Rishonim and Achrayim, and half of the Rishonim learning the market pshuto meis leis. The way we usually assume is Me'es Le'es just means you don't become bar mitzvah on Echad B'Tishrei. You should say everyone born in a certain year becomes bar mitzvah when it comes Echad B'Tishrei. You're starting the 14th year. You always become bar mitzvah the first day of Yud Gimel Shana B'Yom Echad, we assume, the beginning of the 14th year. What does it mean Yud Gimel Shana B'Yom Echad? Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar, so when it came Vav Adar, 13 years later, that was the last day of the 13th year. And when it came Zayin Adar, that's the Yom Echad. That Yom Echad doesn't mean Ches Adar. Yom Echad means on Zayin Adar, 13 years later. So that's the first day of the 14th year. Orli Arba Asar, a person becomes by mitzvah the beginning of the 14th year. So one might have thought that everyone becomes bar mitzvah, all the girls become bas mitzvah, all the girls born in 1 year become bas mitzvah, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the 13th year, and all the boys who were born in 1 year become bar mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of their 13th year, so the 14th year. So that's where the Gemara says, no, mi'es li'es. Mi'es li'es means every day, but not to be taken literally, mi'es li'es to the hour, you don't become bar mitzvah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's what's usually assumed. You become bar mitzvah the beginning of the night. So that's what the Golden Gaon says. The first mitzvah, every child who becomes bar mitzvah, first mitzvah he has to fulfill is Kriya Shema Deraisa. Ma'ariv is the Rabbanon. Okay, David, Ma'ariv is the Rabbanon. And Kriya Shema is Deraisa. So that's why the Shas begins with Ne'emes HaKavanas HaShema Barav, and it starts with Kriya Shema Shalailo. That's the first mitzvah that the child becomes obligated to fulfill when he becomes bar mitzvah. Okay, maybe that's the reason why. See, the Shireb to say that the reason why you start from Kriya Shema is because Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samaf Shemayim, such an important mitzvah. And the minyan on mitzvahs, the Rambam lists that off first, not the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, to believe in God. So that's what one of the Shireb says. You can read the word Me'em Asai, Me'em Asi, Kavanas Hashema. Out of fear of God, we should recite Kriya Shema. That's not the correct reading, that's not the meaning of the Mishnah, but maybe that was a hidden meaning. That's why they put it in the big box. And that's why they didn't put Nikudis, so you'd be able to misread it, that name I see. Okay, whatever. So whatever. So the Mishnah starts off with Kriya Shema. So when is the earliest time you can recite Kriya Shema Shalaila? The Mishnah said there are different opinions in the Tanoim. The Gemara is going to have a whole Machlokes HaTanoim based on the days. So the Tana in the Mishnah says, Mishosh HaKadam Lachnasim Lechol B'Chumasim. That's the earliest time you can recite Kriya Shema. Then the Gemara on the days has Akasha. About 15 lines from the top of base on the base. The line ends with the word Uriminhu. About 15 lines from the top, on base on the base. So the line ends with the word Uriminhu. Is that the earliest time to recite Kriya Shema M'shosh? Akan M'chnasim Lechav B'chumasim. Uriminhu Me'masai Maschim L'kirus Kriya Shema Ba'am M'shosh B'nam N'chnasim Lechav Piton Ba'am Shabbos D'Ramel Cham M'shosh Akan M'zakam Lechav B'chumasim. That's the second opinion. Kacham M'marim is the second opinion. The first Tana gave a different shiur. Then the Gemara is going to give more shiurim, more Tanaim, other shiurim. Each Tana has a different shiur. Going to have four or five or six different opinions on based on the base. Different opinions. Okay. But the Tana, the Mishnah, gives the shiur. When exactly is that? So the Gemara says about the eight lines from the bottom. When is it? What is Tzeis HaKechavim all about? A Tomei is not permitted to eat Maisa Sheni. The Pasuk says, Lo Biyartim Men of the Tomei. You're not allowed to consume the Maisa Sheni in a state of Tumah, whether you are in the state of Tumah or the Maisa Sheni in the state of Tumah. So if the person is in the state of Tumah, he goes to the Mikdus, he's no longer in the state of Tumah. He can eat the Maisa Sheni right away. So that's the Mishnah Tovah V'Yolah. A person goes to the Mikveh and he comes out of the Mikveh, Oichel the Maisa Sheni. He can eat the Maisa Sheni right away. But in order to eat Trum, you have to have Harav Shimshon. You have to have Harav Shemesh. The tefillah is not completed until you have the Harav Shemesh. And then for the purpose of entering the Beis HaMikdash or reading Korbanos, even the Harav Shemesh is sometimes not sufficient. If you have the Abba Mechusri Kapora, the Mishnah lists off, that's the name of the second Perek increases. Perek Abba Mechusri Kapora. There are four people who are Tmeyim, who even after going to the mikveh, even after having the Harav Shemesh, they're still not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, still not allowed to eat karbonis, until they bring the special karbonis that serve to complete their tahara process. That's the zav, the zavi, or lettuce, and mitzorah. Those are the avon mechusri kapor. So that's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah that says these three different dinim: tavol v'yala oichol b'maisa sheni, Harav Shimshon after Harav Shemesh at tzeis ha'tuchavim. And Hevi Kaparasa, the Abba Mechusi Kaparasa, when they bring the korban, then they're Echel B'Kachim, and then they're permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Gemara asked on the Mishnah. Why doesn't the Mishnah beat around the bush? When is the earliest man to eat? When is the earliest man? Inside Kriya Shema Shalaila. Mishosh HaKonim Nechnosim Lechel B'Chumosim. So the Gemara says, Michdi, when is that man? Say Sakechavim. Listening, say Sakechavim. Let it give this man. What, he beat around the bush? And the Gemara says, no. This is the style of the editing of the Mishnah. Whenever the Tana can pack in another din, just kalahayat, so he'll he'll squeeze in another din. What is the mission teach me? Kapar la miyakro. Hey, the kaparos is only miyakev and negeya to body. Abom mechusi kapar. That's only when you get to eating kochim and entering the Beis Hamikdash, but not when you get to eating truma. So truma, it's enough with harav shemesh. And harav shemesh means teisa kocham. That's what it says. That's how the Gemara said, right? Michti kohanim emes koachli truma mishas teisa kochavim. That's what the Gemara says. Harav shemesh is teisa kocham. So then the Gemara says, "Kid itanias, we have a price. Go Hashemish b'toher. What does it mean? Be Hashim shem yakvas malechol b'truma. Ain't kaparos yakvas malechol b'truma. Be Hashim shem means the tzeisat bechavim, and heavy kaparosa means the next morning on the Yom Hashmini, when the abor mechusik kapar the zav zavi yaledus amitzah when they bring the korban. That's only the yakev for the purpose of eating kach, not for the purpose of eating truma. Correct the Gemara. And how do you know that that's the pshat? Maybe you should interpret it differently. So what's the question? What's the happening here? Umimai the Hayav Hashem is B.S. Hashem is Rahadit Toher, Toher Yoima. How do you know that it means Harav Shemesh allows you to eat the Truma? Maybe what it means is Ubo Hashem is tomorrow morning when the sun will rise. Vitoher, Toher Gavra, the person will bring his Karbanas. Maybe even the Abor Mechusi Kapar are not even allowed to eat Truma. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. The Gemara is raising a possibility that we don't have three dinim. The Mishnah in the Goyim says that there are three dinim. This is a Mishnah in the Goyim, I think. Tovel, Biyala, Echol B'Maiser. Herod Shimsha, Echol B'Truma. Evi Kaparosai, Echol B'Kachim. So the Gemara is asking, when my Daim Ba'ashem is Bias Hashem, how do you know that there's a middle category? Maybe there are only two categories. Who says that there's a din of Harav Shemesh? That after Harav Shemesh, the Tomei is permitted. The Tomei is permitted to eat Truma. Maybe he too has to have Hevi Kaparosai. So the Gemara says, no, it simply doesn't fit in with the pasuk. Amar Rab Bar Shailen Kain, if that's the pshat, Vua Shemesh, the sun will rise the next day. Vit Toher means Vit Toher Gavra, he will bring the karma. Let me crop the Yit Toher, let it say in the future. And he will be Matir himself by offering the karbanas. My Vit Toher. So the word Vit Toher obviously refers to Harav Shemesh. Vit Toher Yom, Kediyamish, Erev Shim Shavi Dakiyim. That's how Rashi translates. That the Gemara is raising a possibility, he might die, Boaz Shemesh, the Gemara is raising a possibility, maybe there are not Dimochi, Luki Dinim, maybe they're only basically Luki Dinim. And there is no such din that after Harav Shemesh, he's allowed to eat Truma. The Gemara says no, that the Klal is correct, you see from the Pesukim. Taisus does not learn like that. Taisus said, that's wild. How do you read the next line in the Gemara? But Marav, they didn't know the answer of Rabba Barav Shelelo Shmilu, Hubo, Lomid Baye. And in Eretz Yisrael, they had a suffix. Hi, Baal Shemesh, Bi Hashim, Shuhu, Mai, Vitor, Torah, Yoyma, doesn't mean Harav Shemesh. After Harav Shemesh, he permitted to eat Truma, Oy Dilma, Bi Asor, Hu, Mai, Vitor, Torah, Gavra. What were they misupik? That for the purpose of eating Truma, you have to have Hevi Kaparosai. They were really misupik. Well, the Pashmulam and Bryce, Minikan and Bryce, similar Dhamma, Tesa Kohom, and see that that's got, I mean, they were really misupik? How could that be? That's ridiculous. It's all over Shas. It says that people are running to go to the mikveh before the shkia, and if they go to miss it, they'll have to wait to Harav Shemesh of the next day. Everybody knows that Harav Shemesh. Before Harav Shemesh, you can't eat. You may have to Harav Shemesh. What a real the Babli didn't, according to the way Rashi says, the Babli didn't have a suffix what it means. The Babli was asking, how did the Tanoim and the Mishnah know that that's true? Maybe how can you prove it from the Pesukim that there's a middle din? Maybe there is no middle category of Harav Shemesh Oichel B'Truma. How did the Tanoim know? That's what the Babli was asking. But it says, "Be my rover boy, they were asking, what's the din? And they were pushed from a price. What do you mean? They didn't know the din of Harav Shemesh. So Taisa said, that's ridiculous. Rashi's pshat is ridiculous. So Taisa says, halfway down the Taisa, V'yishlam in the Hoche Perushan. No. Gemara is asking, who says that Vua HaShemesh V'Torah means, Harav Shemesh means, Taisa V'Chavim? Maybe Harav Shemesh means Shkia. There's a gap of time between Shkia and Seisa Tehara. That's all discussion in Bava Madlikin. The Mishnah talks about Tzavik HaShecha, Tzavik Enich HaShecha. means after Shkia, before Tzeisat Rechavim, there is a bit of time. There's a whole discussion there, Machlokes HaTanaim, how much time there is. But there is some period of time that's labeled as Bein Hashmasha. So that's what the Gemara was asking the question. How do you know? Umimai, the Hayova Shemesh means Biyas Hashemesh. The Toher means a later period of time. Toher Yoima. Vashemesh means the sun sets. The Toher and the whole sky is clear from all light. It's already Tzeisak Rechavim. Maybe Yavu Hashemesh means Shkia. The Toher, the Gavra, and the person who says the Toher means a later period of time. Yavu Hashemesh means the sun sets. The Toher, and it's even no light at all. Maybe it means Toher Gavra. The person becomes Toher after Shkia. That was the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, no, that's what it says in the Braisa. We know that there's a concept of Hayrav Shemesh, but the Gemara is asking, does Hayrav Shemesh mean Shkia? Does Hayrav Shemesh mean Tzeisak Rechavim? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it means Tzeisak Rechavim. This is a question. How much time is there, Taka, in Bein Hashmashos? How much time is there in Bein Hashmashos? Usually assume there's a period of time that's Bada Yom. Then you have Bein Hashmashos, is Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Sofik Hashecha, Sofik Ene Hashecha. Then you have Tzeisak Rechavim when it's Bada Laila. So how long is that period of time? That's a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that it's terrifying. It's a mashu, it's a half a minute. The whole time of Bein Hashmashos is a half a minute. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, it's a whole block of time that's labeled as Bein Hashmashos. So maybe, that's the Shaila, maybe the Gemara that says that Hayrav Shemesh means Tzeisak Rechavim, maybe that's only if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that the difference between Bein Hashmashos and Tzeisak Rechavim is a hair of fire. So then you say, Hayrav Shemesh means, because there is no, it's Shkia, nothing changes. It's still Vada Yom. According to Rabbi Yossi, what does it mean, Bein Hashmashos is hair of fire? A blink of an eye. What does it mean? That a second after Shkia is Tzeisak Rechavim? No. Whenever Tzeisak Rechavim is, so a hair of fire before that is Bein Hashmashos, and up until that, let's say the Vilna Gaon says that Tzeisak Rechavim, let's say approximately a half an hour after the sun sets. So the half minute before the half an hour, the first 29 and a half minutes is Bada Yom. The last half a minute is Bein Hashmashos, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. And then after that half a minute, after 30 minutes after the Shkia, then it's going to be Vada Laila. So maybe according to Rabbi Yossi, maybe it makes sense to say that Hayrav Shemesh means Tzeisak Rechavim. What if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a whole block of time that we label as Bein Hashmashos? So maybe you don't have to wait till it's Tzeisak Rechavim. Maybe it's enough if you enter into the period of time of Yavo Hashemesh. Al Pidin, something changes. The Vilna Gaon holds that right after the Shkia, Rabbi Yossi says that it's Vada Yom for the first 29 and a half minutes. And then it's only Bein Hashmashos a half a minute, then it becomes Tzeisak Rechavim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a whole block of time that's Bein Hashmashos. So when is that? So the Vilna Gaon claims, starting right after the Shkia, as soon as the sun sets, it's called Bein Hashmashos, and then that goes for 29 and a half minutes, let's say. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that something changes Al Pidin after the Shkia, that you have Yom and Laila together, and it's labeled as a Saf Yom, Saf Yom. Maybe that's called Hayrav Shemesh. Maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be sufficient for Hayrav Shemesh. That's what the Vilna Gaon raises a possibility. Maybe the whole Gemara only goes on even the Rabbi Yossi, that at Shkia nothing happened. It only happens after 29 and a half minutes. So that's Tzeisak Rechavim already. It's a hair fine. It'll be Tzeisak Rechavim. Nothing changes before Shkia, after Shkia, for the first 29 and a half minutes. Nothing changes. So you can't say that Hayrav Shemesh means Shkia. But if you don't like Rabbi Yehuda, that at Shkia, something changes. Either there's a Braisa and by Mamad Likian, the Braisa says, when you see one star, is Vada Yom. When you see two stars, Gechavim Beinoni. When you see two stars in the sky, then it's Bein Hashmashos. When you see three stars in the sky, then it's Vada Yom. So the Gemara says, when you see one star, it's still Vada Yom. But the Vilna Gaon says, that whole Braisa is only Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. The Vilna Gaon says, how much time does it take between your ability to see two stars and to see three stars? A hair of fire. If you can see two stars, you can see three stars already. It's only going to take less than a half a minute. So that Gemara goes like Rabbi Yossi, that for the first 29 and a half minutes, it's Vada Yoyim. And towards the end of the 29 and a half minutes, you'll be able to see one star, it's still Vada Yoyim. When you see two stars, that's Ben Hashmashus, and then a half a minute later, you see the third star, it'll be Vada Yoyim. That's Ali with Rabbi Yossi. But he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true that there's a period of time after the Shkia that's Vada Yoyim. No, the Vilna Gaon claims, that's what the Baal HaTanya agrees with the Vilna Gaon also, that right away at Shkia starts Ben Hashmashus. Ben Hashmashus begins right away after the Shkia. So it's already a new unit of time, Shkia. And the Safik Yom, Safik Laila, there's a Ritva and Yuma that the Rogachova made famous. There's a Ritva and Yuma where the Ritva says that Ben Hashmashus is not, that the Chachamim throughout all the generations couldn't figure it out when the first day ends, when the next day begins. Is it at sunset, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes after that, 5 minutes after that, 5 minutes after that? They couldn't figure it out. He says, no, not that they couldn't figure it out. It's not a question you got to figure out. He says that Ben Hashmashus has properties of Yom and Laila superimposed one on top of the other, and it's a tie to the Sasri. So that's why we treat it Al-Pidin as if it were a Sufik. It's not that we're Mesufik, we can't figure it out. So get all the rabbis in the world together and figure it out. Break your heads and figure it out. The answer is nothing to figure out. If you have a tie to the Sasri, so you can't label it as Yom because it has properties of Laila. You can't label it as Laila, it has properties of Yom. So Al-Pidin, you treat it as a... is a suffix. Not that it's really a suffix. And now they have a tie to the Sasri treat as a suffix. So that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's room to argue the point and say that right after Shkia, Al-Pidin vented into a new time zone. Now it has Yom and Laila. It's not that we're not sure whether it's Yom or Laila. Where to draw that? You're not sure, so maybe it's still Yom. No. It's Vadai Yom and Vadai Laila at the same time. When you have a tie to the Sasri, the Halacha treats it as if it were a suffix. Not really a suffix. So there, there's room to argue the point to say that Ali with the Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the Har Shemesh is Ginuk, which Gia, maybe you don't need the Tzeis HaKocham. Tzeis learns that that's what the Gemara was asking. How do you know Bias Shimsho? My Daiva Shemesh means Shkia. Vitoher means a time period after the Shkia means Tzeis HaKocham. Maybe Bo Hashemesh means Shkia. Vitoher, the person will be Toher. Who says Vitoher means a time period past that? So the Gemara says, no, that's what it means. We have a tradition. Bo Hashemesh Vitoher means Seisa Kohan. But the Vilna Gaon is not so convinced of Tosis Pshat. He says that it may be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Hayra Shemesh means Shkia. It doesn't have to be. It could be that the Gemara insists that it's similar. David says it come. That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a difference between. Vada Ben Hashmashis and says that Kaham is only a harifying. So the Gemara says, similar dub, it says Kaham is a harifying leg. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be it's not so.
Does this fit for only work for Rabbi Yehuda? Could it work with Rabbi Yossi from the Zen Shabbos also? When Rabbi Yossi says Zen, Zebav, Zen, Nifnas, Yefshak, Lorem Lam or Olev, does that mean that the Ritpo would understand the Yefshak, Lorem Lam or Olev? I mean, it's still a sub according to Rabbi Yossi? Still some type of Metzias Suffolk, or just Rabbi Yossi would tell you that really it's not a Metzias Suffolk, just that we can't be Omid on it.
What do you mean? Does Rabbi Yossi hold the same? Does Rabbi Yossi say the same as Rabbi Yossi? That Rabbi Yossi says that you have 25 minutes, a half an hour, that's a block of time. Rabbi Yossi says it's only a half a minute. That's a block
but
of time.
Would the Ritva's explanation be only for Rabbi Yossi or for Rabbi Yossi also?
Could be point to Rabbi Yossi also. Could be point to Rabbi Yossi also. Possibly. So that's a shaila. We'll have to see some more. We'll soon see. Okay, so the Masechta begins with the topic of Kriya Shema. What's Taka Kriya Shema as a mitzvah and a Torah mitzvah de Rabban? So we already went through the Gemara Chof Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara has a machlokes amarayim. Safik kara Kriya Shema, safik lo kara. So the first opinion is, ain't a chazer v'kara, because Kriya Shema is lav derais. We don't pass them like that. We pass them like Rabbi Loza. The first one is Amar Abiyuda Amar Shmuel. First one is Shmuel. Amar Abiyuda Amar Shmuel. Holds that Kriya Shema Lav Derais. Second one is Rabbi Loza, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan from Eretz Yisrael. Sabakar Kriya Shema, Sabakar Chazavikar Kriya Shema. Then the Gemara asks, how can Shmuel be of the opinion that Kriya Shema is Lav Derais? Isn't it a pasuk in Chumash that says, V'dibarta Bam, V'shach B'chav Kamecha? How then can you read the Pshat in the pasuk? It says the famous, you have to say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, Nah, who b'divir Torah who dichsi? That doesn't go on reciting Shema v'Hayoyim Shemoya. The Dibar Tabom, you should talk and learning. Mabe Sefer a little bit every day. You should be Mabisedra, Ganya Dafyamiya, Mishnah Yomis, Halacha Yomis, whatever. Have a system whereby you learn by Yom or by Laila. This pasuk, according to the first opinion, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, this pasuk is simply saying like this. We had the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third paragraph. The Gemara says that the obligation to Duchen is only once a day, every day. Then we have the Rambam's opinion that the obligation to daven is once a day, every day, min hatorah. The obligation to daven three times a day. But the Nusach HaTfilah, that's min derabbanan. But the obligation to daven once a day, every day, that's min hatorah. It's long time from a pasuk. How does the Rambam know that it's once a day, every day? So Mistami got it from, I think, the Stipe right. He must have gotten it from that Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Whenever you have a mitzvah, and it's unclear how often the mitzvah has to be observed. So it's assumed that it's once a day, every day, by duchenin. And by davening like that, so the same over here regarding Talmud Torah. You have a mitzvah of Liban HaTorah. So one opinion in the Tanoim and Menachos seems to be that there's an obligation to learn every free minute that you have. When you're sleeping, you're not allowed to get to learn. When you have to eat, when you have to make a parnasa, when you're busy, you have no free time, you're not mukhif to learn. Whenever, every minute of free time you have, you're mukhif to learn. That's one opinion. So it's usually assumed not like that. It's usually assumed that we don't accept that opinion. Usually assumed that a person is obligated to learn a little bit every day. Not that he's mechuyev to learn all day and all night every time he has free time. He won't become a Talmid Chacham. If he just learns 5 minutes every day, he's not going to become a Talmid Chacham. But he's yet to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So that mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's once a day every day, if you assume like that. You're not mechuyev to learn every free minute, once a day every day. So that's all, once a day every day, or is it once a day every day, and once a night every night? So we have a pasuk in Yeshua, v'hagisa bo yomam v'loyla. So that sounds like it means once a day every day, and once a night every night. So according to the first opinion, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, that's what it says in the Chumash. You don't need the pasuk in Yeshua. V'dibar tabam v'shach b'chol kumecha means ha'hu v'dibar tarahu d'chsiv. And it's telling me you have to learn once a day every day, and once a night every night. You're not yet in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not the same as duchening, you're not the same as davening, but once a day every day. Here by Talmud Torah, you have to have once a day every day, and once a night every night. So that's what the Gemara says in Menachos. If a person recites Kriya Shema when he davens Shacharis and Kriya Shema when he davens Ma'ariv, so he's really yitzah. He learned a little bit. Kriya Shema is a quotation from the Chumash. So he learned a little bit, 2 minutes of Talmud Torah, once a day, every day, once a night, every night. So Yaitse. So the first Amar in the Gemara says you shouldn't tell an Am Ha'aretz this Kula, because he's not going to open up another Sefer. He'll just daven. Shakris Marif, he daven. So he'll know that he's Yaitse. Then the next opinion in the Gemara says, Adarabi, you should tell the Am Ha'aretz. Because the Am Ha'aretz think that they're not Yaitse Talmud Torah, so they run away from the Torah. You should tell them, no, we're all learning Torah. I'm learning Torah, you're learning Torah, everybody's learning Torah. When you daven, you don't even realize it. You're learning Torah. We're all learning Torah. Right? You should encourage them, instead of keeping it a secret and insisting you got to learn. What's with it? The guy's not going to open a sefer, so he'll feel he'll run away from Yiddishkeit. He'll run away from the Rabbam. So you have to have him join in with the Rabbam. So that's a psychological machlokes. The dove is there. Also the gal, also the sapra b'fnei amor, also the mitzvah the sapra b'fnei amor.
Isn't that a problem of Enos and Mitzvahs
Chabilos?
You're doing Shema and Talmud Torah?
According to this opinion of the Gemara, there aren't two different mitzvahs. The Pasuk, the Dibar Tabam, Shach Vachamecha, means, V'divitaru Dichsiv. With the Rabbanan, they insisted that you shouldn't stop learning Mishnah Yomis, Halacha Yomis, Daf Yomis, whatever you choose, Mab, etc. You should dafke fulfill the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah by reciting Shema V'Yom Shema. So the din mid the Rabbanon is just a prat within the din deraisa. There aren't two different mitzvahs. The Rambam paskins the two different mitzvahs because the Rambam paskins that Kriya Shema is deraisa. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn Vagisa b'yom v'lal means once a day every day, once a night every night. And then in addition to that, one mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's another mitzvah of reciting Kriya Shema. The dibarta b'am shach b'chav kumecha. It's not the same. But that's because the Rambam paskin like Rav Loza that Kriya Shema is deraisa. But if he would have paskin like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that Kriya Shema is lav deraisa, he wouldn't have counted it as two din mitzvahs. The mitzvah of the Dibarta Bam Shal Kamecha is identical with the Lamarta Moshe Benechim and the Dababam. That is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To learn Torah by Yom or by Laila. That's the whole mitzvah. And in Torah you can learn Torah whatever you choose. Help the children do their homework. Learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. Or learn daf yomi, whatever. I mean, the Rabbanon, they insisted that you should daf to recite Kriya Shema. So we pass in Allah that Kriya Shema is the raisa. So it's not really the essence of the mitzvah is not so much to learn Torah. The essence of the mitzvah is to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Kabbalos ol malchus shamayim is the ikar of the mitzvah. So we assume that kriya shma is the raisa. We pass from halacha safik kar kriya shma safik loikar. Even though he already learned daf yomi, he's going to learn other things. We assume that the insistence on having parsha shma is a din deraisa. The safik kar kriya shma safik loikar safik deraisa b'chumer. It has to be chayza dekare. And then the Mishnah has that there's a sof, there's a tchilas hazman and there's a sof hazman. So the tchilas hazman, the Tana in the Mishnah holds that it's Rishash of Kanim Nechnasim Lechav Vitrumasim, which the Gemara says is Tzeisak Vechavim. The other Tanaim have other zmanim, different opinions. When is the tchilas hazman or Kriya Shema Shalayim? Because in the Chumash it doesn't say Balaylo Bayom. It says Bishach Becho, when people are going to sleep. Different Tanoim akoveya, when are normal people going to sleep? Different Tanoim say it depends on the poor people, on the wealthy people, on the middle income people. The poor people can't afford to have candles burning all night. They can't afford to have electricity on. So it's dark in the house. So they're going to eat their supper towards the end of the day, and then they're going to go to sleep right away. And then they'll wake up in the morning when the sun is shining. They don't want to use candles, they have no electricity. So that's what Mishashani Nichnas Lecha Pita Bear. When the poor man comes in, does it depend on the poor man? Does it depend on the rich man? Why should you say it depends? One Tana said, Mishashani Nichnas Lecha Pita Bimela. The poor man eats earlier than everybody else because he doesn't want to spend money on the candles. Why should you pick on the Miud Bnei Odom? Most people are poor, most people are wealthy. Most people are middle income. Middle income are wealthy. So what does he say? When the poor people go in to eat their dinner.
Maybe why don't we go after the Dora Midbar?
Why don't we go after the Dora
Midbar?
Yeah, we're talking in the Dora Midbar. There were poor people, there were wealthy people, and there were middle income people. They had all the three in the Dora Midbar also. Some of them had all that. So why does he pick on the poor man? Why does one Tana pick on the poor man? There's a Gemara at the end of the first parak in the Chagiga, but the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was searching through all the different midas to decide which midah to give to the Jewish people. And he finally decided to give the Jewish people the midah of poverty. The matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu midah tov l'Yisrael ela anius. Your anius of Yisrael. The Gemara says that poverty is a wonderful midah for the Jewish people, like a red scarf. It looks good on a horse. Gemara has a funny lush. That's the best thing. The Baruch Hashem was searching through all the different meters. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a drasha on that. So he said the Jewish people always knew how to deal with poverty. They always succeeded in remaining observant to wealth. They never succeeded. Whenever the Jews became wealthy, so they gave up the whole religion. They became reform and reconstructionist, and they ran away from Yiddishkeit. They gave up the whole. And in poverty, we knew, that's what the Gemara says, the Jewish people knew how to control the need of poverty. So that's why it should depend on the Ani Nichnas Lecha Pita Benal. It should depend on the poor man. Why should it depend on the poor man? Because the Jews are supposed to be poor. They're not supposed to be poor. That's an agadah to the Gemara. So the Ramban says, it says B'shoch B'cho, or B'kumecho in the singular. It doesn't say B'shoch B'chem. The Melchamas writes on the first page in the Rif. He says, He's implying normally when you establish dinim, the dinim are established based on the minik ha'olam roi b'nei adam. How would roi b'nei adam do things? What does the average person do? And here, because it says b'shach b'cha, the Gemara has a drasha on b'lech b'cha, b'derech. How does it get? Shiv t'cha b'veisecha, b'lech t'cha b'derech. So that the Gemara has a drasha on later. Here on the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara has six lines from the top. Kiditanya, b'shif techa b'veisecha, dechof, b'shev is digdof, u'b'lech techa b'lech is digdof. The Gemara has a drasha on the chof, and then the Gemara doesn't tell you what's b'shach techa b'kumecha, what's with that chof, so the Gemara doesn't tell you anything. So the Ramban says, no, he finishes off the drasha from the Gemara. That's why it says, "B'shach b'cha b'kumecha, to tell you in the singular. It depends on the miut ben yodim. Doesn't here the dinam don't depend on the rod ben yodim. Take for example, when is the sovzman kriyashma in the morning? The latest time you can say kriyashma, we assume that's a vinda raisa. Yes, Mishnah writes in one place that sovzman kriyashma in the morning is only the rabban. And the Magen Avraham quotes a tesefta in contradiction to the Tes Mishnah that the Sozman Kriyashma is a din derais. So when is the Sozman Kriyashma in the morning? Atzof Gimel Shoes. Why Sof Gimel Shoes? Bishoa she b'nei Malachim om dimimitosim. How many people are b'nei Malachim? Why did the Tanoim establish a din based on b'nei Malachim? So that's what the Ramban says. B'nei Malachim are amiyut b'nei Yodim. Because it says in the Chumash, Bishoch b'cho b'ku mecho, in the singular, so this din was nishtana from all the other dinim in the Torah. Normally you establish din based on whatever the normal way to do things is. And here it's established based on the miyot ben yodim. So that's why each time it gives a different zman. Mishor sha'ani nichnas lechal pita be'erav. The aniyim are not the roiv of the population. They're not the roiv of the population. And nonetheless, that's the way they establish the zman. So there's a Tchilas Hazman and a Sof Hazman. You have a while to recite Kriyashma.
Maybe according to the Shita Sagra, that Lashon Yachid is referring to all the whole Rambam at once. So
yeah.
This is a good drush of the Ramban work, according to the way the Gra explains.
V'divarta bom. I'm not sure. I think the Vilna Gaon only says it when you have a mitzvah that appears twice in Chumash. Yeah, the same thing appears twice, once in the singular and once in the plural. So when it appears in the singular, it's speaking to Klausan, it appears in the plural, it's speaking Lucha Lechaviyah. But Sfirasan appears twice. So once it says in the singular, so it's speaking about the Sfirat Kluy Bebezin. And once when it's in the plural, Sfartem, Sheshate Sfir Lucha Lechaviyah. Here in Kriyashma, both times it says it in the singular.
But Nabi Yagra is not talking about reading Pesukim in general, it's just talking about a specific one purpose.
I don't know, that's they quote it in the name of the Vilna Gaon. I don't know if it's in the writings of the Gra. They tell me to write like that. So I think perhaps what they mean is if you have a parsha that appears twice, once in the single, once in the plural, then say one refers to the Tzibur, one refers to Kol Yochadim. Okay, we'll stop here. So believe me that tomorrow we'll do Chumash. We'll try to do Chumash. Sunday I won't be here. I'll be dancing at the wedding, and Monday we'll try to continue. Monday and Tuesday, we'll try to continue a little bit.
Sure.